A 62-year-old manager prefers memos. Her 28-year-old direct report wants a Slack message. Meanwhile, a 45-year-old team lead schedules yet another meeting that no one asked for, and a 70-year-old consultant wonders why everyone seems so stressed about things that aren't actually urgent. Sound familiar? For the first time in history, four distinct generations are working side by side, each carrying vastly different assumptions about respect, communication, loyalty, and what it means to do a good job. The result isn't just awkward, it's expensive. Replacing a disgruntled employee costs roughly 2.5 times their annual salary, making generational friction a bottom-line issue, not just a cultural one. Yet the organizations that crack this code don't just survive the tension, they thrive because of it. Traditionalists, born before 1946, survived the Great Depression and World War II, watching unemployment hit 25% and families lose everything. They built highways, vaccines, the space program, and global infrastructure we now take for granted. Their defining trait? An unshakable work ethic rooted in survival. Work wasn't about passion or self-actualization. It was duty, dependability, and not rocking the boat. Consider George, a 79-year-old engineer who officially retired but still designs clean rooms as a contractor. His wife keeps asking when he'll stop. He keeps showing up because the work matters and younger engineers lack his decades of field experience. Traditionalists view themselves as interchangeable parts in a larger machine, a perspective forged in manufacturing economies where job security was never guaranteed. They derive satisfaction not from meaning, but from doing work well. Managers love their loyalty and persistence, but younger colleagues sometimes mistake their deference to authority for passivity. In truth, they learned early that duty comes before pleasure, and complaining changes nothing. Between 1946 and 1964, over 76 million babies arrived, one every 17 minutes for 19 years. Unlike previous generations, these children weren't economic necessities, but cherished hobbies, doted upon by parents who had sacrificed through war. Boomers grew up during America's greatest economic expansion, absorbing optimism, self-centeredness, and unshakable belief in their own coolness. They were the first generation targeted by advertisers from childhood, reshaping consumer culture. Vietnam split them permanently. The generation divides between first-halfers, born 1940s, idealistic workaholics, and second-halfers, 1950s to 1960, who observed more than participated in cultural revolution. Take Linda, a 64-year-old VP with three decades of 60-hour workweeks behind her, no children, one failed marriage. Respected, but demanding, occasionally called ruthless, she'd respond that her job is corporate solvency, not soothing feelings. Boomers championed collegial leadership and workplace fairness, influenced by civil rights. Yet employees often notice gaps between espoused values and practice. Raised by command and control parents, many struggle implementing the participative management they advocate. Generation X arrived in the shadow of the boomers, 51 million compared to 76 million, during America's ugliest decades. Vietnam's loss, Watergate, oil embargoes, massive corporate layoffs, soaring divorce rates. They were the first latchkey kids, coming home to empty houses while parents chased careers or split up. Nearly half experienced divorced parents. They formed their worldview amid fallen heroes and economic struggle, developing a survivor mentality critics mistake for cynicism. The first wave graduated into a brutal job market during globalization and downsizing, watching parents devote everything to companies that repaid loyalty with pink slips. Devin, graduating in 1985 with a psychology degree, spent 9 months searching before settling for two part-time jobs. He eventually found work at a homeless shelter, gained computer skills through donated equipment, and slowly worked into middle management over 12 years through penny pinching and DIY skill building. Gen X learned harsh lessons. Work offers no guarantees. Companies feel no loyalty, so build portable skills and refuse to sacrifice personal life. They became corporate nomads, jumping between positions, focused on work-life balance. The slacker label stuck, but Xers produce excellent work under the right conditions: flexible hours, minimal supervision, substantial responsibility, freedom in execution. Then they walk out at 5 p.m. without guilt. Millennials, born 1980 to 2000, are the first generation raised immersed in digital technology. Despite inheriting economic disaster, they remain optimistic. Representing over 87 million people, they're the most racially and ethnically diverse generation in history. The 1980s marked a return to child-centeredness. Both Gen X and Boomer parents recommitted to family involvement. 90% of fathers attended births. Children's book sales quadrupled. Millennials became the busiest generation of children ever, with micromanaged lives shuttling between multiple activities. Formative events like Columbine and 9/11 shaped their civic-mindedness. Community service became essential for college admissions. Volunteer rates doubled. Youth voter registration surged. They're resiliently optimistic. 42% believe America's best days are ahead, compared to just 15% of boomers and traditionalists. As digital natives, they process information fundamentally differently than older digital immigrants. They're collaborative team players, goal-oriented achievers, and embrace diversity in all forms. Their childhood-instilled confidence can be both asset and liability, sometimes perceived as entitlement by older colleagues who earned self-assurance through decades of proving themselves. Organizations succeed by deploying the ACORN imperatives: accommodate employee differences like customers, create choices through flexible schedules and benefits, operate from sophisticated management styles adapted to individuals, respect competence by assuming the best, and nourish retention through training and internal marketing. Scripps Health transformed operating losses and high turnover through their lifecycle employee program, offering on-site daycare, tuition reimbursement, staged retirement, and wellness programs. By 2006, revenues increased $130 million and first-year turnover dropped 8.5%. Ernst & Young uses Facebook recruiting, flash drives instead of brochures, and text messaging for scheduling. Their alumni program connects with 32,000 former employees. 26% of management hires came from this pool. Best Buy's results-only work environment trusts employees to manage their work, rewarding outcomes rather than activities. The increasingly common dynamic of older workers reporting to younger managers requires the titanium rule: do unto others, keeping their preferences in mind. Younger managers should acknowledge expertise and give face time. Older workers should focus on results and embrace new technologies. Millennials access the web as an external brain, seeing no distinction between online and offline socializing, unlike older generations who viewed email as merely a tool. Organizations can leverage this by challenging them with important problems while implementing concentration training and retaining boomers as consultants for deep, focused work. Demographics ensure talent scarcity. Government workers reach retirement at double-digit rates. The average nurse is 46, and half of teachers are within 5 years of retirement. Organizations must adapt to multi-generational workforces rather than hoping economic pressures force conformity. The workplace isn't broken because four generations occupy it. It's broken when we pretend those differences don't matter. Winning organizations treat generational diversity like any strategic asset. They study it, invest in it, and deploy it intentionally. Your 28-year-old colleague isn't entitled, she's wired differently. Your 62-year-old manager isn't resistant to change, he's seen enough to know which battles matter. Stop waiting for everyone to think like you. Start asking what they see that you don't.